Get ready to laugh out loud with Wise and Nerdy, the show hosted by two hilarious dads who bring their unique blend of wit, wisdom, and nerdiness to the airwaves. From sharing hilarious anecdotes about their own experiences to giving advice on navigating the ups and downs of life, these two dads have got you covered. But that's not all. They're also obsessed with all things nerdy, from comic books and sci-fi movies to video and board games. So whether you're a fellow dad, a pop culture fanatic, or just in need of a good laugh, this is Wise and Nerdy. And now, let's have some fun.
Okay. That's not a question of the week. Oh, hey, did you know that Mike Woodard is alive and well and DJing on TikTok? And on YouTube. Actually, no, I think advertises on TikTok. I think he DJs on YouTube.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, he is doing that, doing some retro stuff, which he's pretty old, so I don't know what he considers retro.
ultra super retro.
I think he's like 80s, to be honest. And he has a friend of his that does it too. Something Monkey, DJ Monkey Mash or something. I forget. But it's a lot of fun. And, you know, Random Kid saying, where's Kurt? Look, 5 minutes early is 10 minutes late. That's all I can say. You know, I wouldn't like call him on the phone and say, don't even bother showing up. But you know, sometimes it's how I have, Kurt, that's not family friendly. He gave the goofy fingers.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He had some sign language for everyone.
not for everyone, just Charles.
Well, I would have actually sign language with you and discussed that had you showed up before the show. But, you know, be here when you can, yeah. Rockstar. You're the Beyonce of this Destiny's Daddy right here, okay? It's
Destiny's fine. Daddy. There you go. My wife was being a little bit of a slowpoke tonight, so.
Now we're going to edit that to him saying something totally different, Joe.
I don't care if she doesn't listen.
Hey, real quick. Can I change the question of the week?
No.
Okay.
It's the question of the week.
It's actually, have you seen the new Spider-Man trailer?
That is not the question of the week.
It is now.
Do you know what day it is? Do you know what day it is?
You know what time it is? Time for Charles to say, Kurt, have you seen the Spider-Man trailer?
I have not.
It's actually, I think it looks really, really decent. Joe, have you seen the Spider-Man trailer?
No.
All right. I guess it's actually, what is your favorite kind of pie?
You know why that's the question, right?
Because you want to do an R-rated show?
No.
Oh, because it's Pi Day, because you're such a stupid nerd.
Yes, I am.
Nerds.
Oh, so what is your favorite kind of pie, Charles?
Tough one. I do like a lot of different pies. Walnut is probably one of my newest pies that I enjoy because I'd never tried it before. I never thought about it, but it's not quite as sweet as a pecan pie, but it has similar tendencies to it. I really like pecan pie. Love a good apple pie. I love a good cherry pie.
A la mode?
I like a look good fried pie. Yeah, yeah. And if you effing say cheese, and I'm sorry I put a letter in there, but if you say cheese on apple pie, I'm just, you guys have the show. I'm going home tonight. Do not.
I've never had cheese on apple pie.
No, Kurt, no. Only if you're serious. Only if you will really eat it.
Oh, absolutely, but it has to be extra sharp cheddar cheese.
I don't understand the whole sharp cheddar and apple thing. I don't get it.
I don't either, but it works.
I mean
you like what you like. As long as you're serious, because, you know, none of this bad dad joke patrolling me crap. But, yeah, it's different. I just don't understand.
Yeah, I've never put it on pie, but I have eaten apple slices with cheese.
Same. It's kind of same. I mean, the pie's a little sweeter, but
yeah.
But I don't know. There's something about the and again, I think it needs to be extra sharp cheddar cheese, like really sharp cheddar cheese. But there's something about that tang with the sweetness of the apple. It just works.
Now that's
it's kind of like the salted caramel thing, right? Salted caramel should not work. You say, oh, I'm going to take this sweet candy. I'm just going to put salt on it. That's dumb. Like, it doesn't make any sense, but it works.
Yeah, my sister used to put salt on her watermelon.
My dad really put salt on salt.
I actually went to lunch with my dad today. Almost the same. He got so we go to Carrabba's, which is a Italian-based restaurant. I think it's better than Olive Garden, but it's still in the chain family, right? He orders just a steak and fries. I'm like, dude, you're killing me. You're killing me so much here you'd like, but okay. And I looked, he got double fries because even though it was lunch, it had two sides, whatever. And so he was going to share some with me. And then they're nice, crispy brown fries. And then when I look away and I look back and they look like the Swiss Alps, I'm good, Paul. I'm good. I know you got nothing to live for anymore. You're old, dude, but okay. All right. Yeah, random kid. Old people are salty. There's jokes, Kurt. There's so many jokes I can tell right now. I did a stream with Phil Keating last night. Just beware. Some of that might pop through. Just saying. Actually, both of y'all showed up a little bit last night, didn't you?
Yeah.
Awesome. I do appreciate it. Was it good? I mean, my whole intent was just to try to make it clear and helpful for everybody.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good. The reason I was able to go is because I can't go to the gym right now.
You got COVID again?
No, but I hurt myself.
Oh, no. Well, let me talk about this. So Devo says salt is a buffer, so when put with acidic fruit like grapefruit or tomatoes, it makes it sweet. Interesting. And Random Kid says, I heart Phil, and I'm totally not Phil. I don't know. All right, so on to the important stuff. What happened? How'd you hurt yourself?
So I was doing an exercise and strained my hip flexor. And so it's kind of like
a connecting tissue for the hips. Yeah.
It is. But I strained it.
I was just trying to mentally get
there. Yeah. So I was doing torso rotation, and I overdid it. I was doing, it's exactly what it was. I was doing 160 pounds of torso rotation and went just a little too far. And so today it's better. I'm still not 100%, but a couple of days ago it was excruciating. Like I haven't been able to sleep well this week. So, but basically I've not been in the gym all week because of that, because people were saying, hey, why don't you do your upper body stuff? Yeah. Except you have to plant your legs and you use your back and your lower back and your hips and everything in almost everything you do anyway. So, yeah. So resting sucks.
It does suck. It sucks so much that you've lost a whole human being, and the worst thing come out of it is, oh, you got a sore hip.
That's the thing, right? No,
Throw the dice.
I'm not allowed to answer the question.
I thought you answered that 3 weeks ago. You like syrupy pie. Roll the dice. Yes. What's your pie, Joe? If you say 3.14, you better just roll the dice.
Pizza.
You're so stupidly happy with that answer. You're so pleased with yourself with that answer. Oh, my God. And yes, Random Kid made all of us laugh, but it's a comment that we're not going to quite share with the kiddos.
Right. Exactly.
But it was good job, Random Kid. But is pizza pie really your favorite?
I do like myself a slice of pizza. But if I'm going for a sweet pie, there's a... My one of my friends used to make a Reese's pie, a peanut butter pie with an Oreo crust and a cheese ganache topping. So good. That's all.
You already know what to do. Why am I having to tell you the next step?
Roll that dice.
I liked apple pie.
Yeah, we knew that. Sharp cheddar. Yeah, moving on. Okay.
No, I was commenting on your cheddar thing. The apple does happen to be my favorite.
Has anybody had pear pie?
No, but it sounds pretty good.
It actually does sound good. I have not had it either. I'll tell you. No rhubarb
pie. You're straying into cobbler territory now.
Yeah. No, well, we could argue that. Like, what's the sandwich? But I can't do sweet potatoes. I cannot do sweet potatoes. I hate the texture. I hate the taste. Cannot
I love sweet potatoes. I don't know about sweet potato pie, but I do love
it. Pumpkin pie.
All right. You roll the dice. What are we doing?
A dad joke.
Oh.
It's your favorite. Just starting off right off the bat.
All right. Can I tell a truly bad dad joke? Like my kind of bad?
Only if you're serious.
Well, I'm not, so I guess you can't tell it.
Oh, man. This one comes to us from KCJ. Says, which side of an emu has the most feathers?
The outside?
Yeah, the outside.
I actually want to approve that for you, but... It's that is on the edge of a first grader joke versus a dad joke.
Well, I mean, Diva Sight's here, so we'll just have to grab one of his since you guys didn't like that one.
Okay.
What does Dracula do when he has a coughing fit?
The outside.
Take coffin medicine.
Coffin medicine. Nice. That's better.
I'm more laughing at Kurt laughing at my joke. Your joke's stupid. Roll the dice.
What has five toes?
Oh my God.
Isn't your foot? My foot.
Yeah. See, that's better. That's a better dad joke. That's better.
Welcome to workshop the crap out of bad jokes. This is your host, Joe Ard, and his hype man, VO by Kurt.
We'll be here all week. Try the veal.
Oh, the veal. All right.
Don't forget to tip your rock dog.
Call back to yesterday.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig
it? We can dig it. We can dig it.
Which is, what do you think about? And this was put forth by you, Charles. What do you think about salary versus hourly wages?
Well, I'm only going to pay you hourly if you can't speak like a human being.
Sorry. Now say here.
Wow, the Tennessee came out right there. I actually want to get a quick poll from you guys, Kurt and Joe. What do y'all think about just in the surface salary? See, I can't do it either, Joe. I can't do it either. Salary versus hourly.
I like Salisbury Steakly. I mean,
I like salary, but only with peanut butter.
That took me too long to get. I got it within about half a second, but in a half a second, I realized half a second was too long to take to see what joke you're making. All right, this is.
I remember something my dad told me was never go salary. Salary really just benefits the company, in my opinion, 95% of the time, I should say, it benefits the company.
Okay, so that's the general consensus of what people think. I'm not saying it's wrong, but that's the an opinion. What do you think, Kurt?
Well, so I've been on both ends of the spectrum on the salary thing. I've worked salary most of my life.
Okay.
And there have been places where it was absolutely abused by the company that I worked for.
Right, right.
And like to the point where I went for the worst case scenario was I went for 3 months working 7 days a week, 20 hour days.
Oh.
And literally 20 hour days. Because I lived 5 minutes away from home, I would go home, sleep for 2 hours, get up and go again. that was abuse. I mean, that was just abuse. I will say that generally speaking, when I was working for a good company, which was most of them, I got paid a salary because I was management. And with that salary, though, comes extra benefits that you wouldn't get as an hourly employee. Could you? Potentially, depending on the company. But I also, along with that would come things like, hey, you went above and beyond. And so here's some comp time and just take some time off, some paid time off. Kind of like bonuses. In some of the better companies, I had profit sharing. Because I was salary and part of management. But you have to be very careful to not abuse that. Like the company that I work for now, all of my technicians are salaried employees. But I work hard to say, do not work this weekend. It can wait until Monday.
Right.
Because they're dedicated enough that they will do the extra work. And frankly, they're younger and not as jaded. But I want to keep that kind of feeling, because then when we have to ask them to do extra, it's worthwhile. Like they know it's an actual emergency, so, and it's an exception.
Yeah. What is the value to the employee and the company in your situation for it to be salary?
So honestly, the primary value is that they don't have to worry about their pay.
The check is
the same. The company expenses are the same.
Right. Exactly. If they work 38 hours or they work 42 hours, it's the same. And we're not nitpicking over the 2 hours that they came up short on the 40, because we trust that they're going to do their jobs.
Yeah.
And so if somebody isn't doing their job and is coming up short, we know that. People know that. Nobody's stupid. You can see what's happening. Right. And so you talk to them based on that, not based on whether they're hourly or salary. It doesn't matter. They're not doing a good job, you know? So I think that part of that really is that let's take worrying about your hourly rate out of the equation, and let's just treat you well. And like the company that I work for, we don't have a number of sick days. If you're sick, you're sick. And guess what? Nobody abuses it.
Yeah. It's called being an adult and having accountability.
Yeah. But it's also, the responsibility of the company to treat people fairly, you know?
So we'll talk about that definitely for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, cause that's where salary gets, it can be abused.
It can be. Joe, you're saying something though.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the term unlimited PTO is kind of a big thing in it's a big thing in companies now, but yes, it is a misnomer, because a lot of companies, and there's definitely good companies out there, but there's a lot of companies that like, oh, you're calling in sick again, like they'll pressure, they have unlimited PTO, but then they shame you every time you use it.
Yep. And we don't do that. I can only speak for the companies that I've worked for and that I've had any kind of responsibility for, to the point where it, like, October would roll around and people had a whole bunch of vacation time. And I'm going, will you just take some vacation? Will you just take some time off? And not because I'm worried about rollover or whatever, but just like, I want people to have time off. So you don't burn out. I mean,
yeah. When I first started working where I am, at the end of the year, you could roll over a certain amount, and then anything above that, you could sell back for 50 cents on the dollar.
Yep.
They got rid of that a couple of years into me working there, so they don't have that anymore. Now they have it capped on how much you can roll over, and anything else is just lost. And so what ends up happening is work comes to a screeching halt starting in late November, because so many people are gone, because they're like, I have to use my PTO or else I lose it. And so, yeah, it's very counterintuitive. And someone on my old team, she's been with the company longer than I've been alive, and she loses probably 2 weeks of PTO every year because she just doesn't use enough. And even when she does use it, half the time she still calls in for meetings and stuff. She works too much.
I gotta tell you, we have a woman who works for us who worked all day last Saturday, and I said, take Thursday off. Just take Thursday off. And she started calling in and answering emails and participating in Teams chat today. And I'm like, I will shut off your access.
I'm a Gen X manager. Of course I take care of you. Nobody was to take care of me.
Yeah, that's kind of it, right? I mean, yeah. So I learned a long time ago that if you trust your employees, you treat them like people, then they will be more loyal than you could possibly buy. It's not difficult, but companies get short-sighted. And the bigger they are, the more disassociated from humanity they are.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to touch on that, right? So I did see this earlier, a random kid who's totally not Phil. Oh, yes. How are you alive, Kurt? But that's not the one I meant to do. There's one above that. It was, he said, salary is for chumps. Like a chump. Hey. Like a chump. Hey. Like a chump. Hey. I did it all for the salary. So, all right. But that is the going. That is the going. Thought process. Oh, no, they'll get you. Let me tell you something. There are certain ways of getting overtime that will burn you hard. And the short version is like an EMS, when you work a 24-hour shift and 48 hours off, usually the way those paychecks fall is you get a full paycheck of overtime with overtime, full paycheck with overtime, and then a paycheck without overtime. And it hurts. On top of that, there's so much overtime because you already have it built in. If you work 1 to 2 extra shifts in the week, right? So not a ton extra as far as the days go. It can put you into a tax bracket that takes more taxes out of your checks. You will actually get the same or less money than you would have gotten had you not worked all the overtime that you worked.
I didn't think that's how tax brackets worked. I thought the amount you make above that tax bracket is taxed at the new tax rate, right? Isn't that how that works?
It still takes out more. I don't know. I'm not a tax expert, but I can tell you from being abused on an hourly level by being guilted into working extra shifts, I worked enough extra shifts in 2 weeks to get maybe $100 to $200 more in my paycheck instead of the $1,000 maybe more it should have been, or whatever it was at my pay rate for overtime and everything. You know, because, and then the excuse, well, you'll get it back at taxes. Yeah, if I was smart enough to figure out how to claim it right. And no, the U.S. government is not my bank. I would rather take home money. So that's just a little aside there. Salary, I'm with you, Kurt, and you stole a lot of the great things that I was going to say, which is great because I like to wander on. So you bullet pointed it for me. But it is, one, companies are not people. And if people treat companies like people, that's where the inhumanity comes in. Trinity EMS is what I run. It's a company. We have a corporate mindset with things, but we have a human heart, and we treat every human like a human being, and we interact with them that way, and we do those things. And the idea of salary in my company is freedom. You have to earn the salary, meaning, no, you're going to stay on hourly, we're going to cap you. You can only work so many hours, but you're going to do this job. And you see the hungry people who want to do the job well. And when we negotiate a salary with them, is what is it you need to pay your bills? And we usually have a range for whatever level they're going to be, right? And then they typically pick their salary within that range of what they need. And then we do the other balance. Because Kurt, like you said, it's freedom. I'm not having to worry about your hours. You, the leader, the manager, the supervisor, who's hungry to help and do well, you don't have to worry about the hours either. We're going to pay you. You're going to take care of your family. And I do tell people, stop working so many days. I do. I have somebody going on vacation. Everybody who goes on vacation under me, they always go, of course, I'll have my phone and my laptop. I'm like, nobody listens to me. And for those of you who don't know, I'm the COO. The buck stops with me. I'm the company. It's me. I have an owner who funds it all. It's my show. And I tell them, you won't listen to me, but don't. Leave your phone at home, your work phone at home. Leave your laptop at home. That's work. We issue laptops. So take your own personal crap wherever you want to go. Leave my stuff at your house. And they don't. They'll be sitting on the beach and answer the phone. And I do love that drive. But I have threatened to suspend somebody because they're working too much. You know, I'm always trying to find that balance because that's, to me, that's the quotey thing. I hate this phrase, good problem to have. But that's my good problem to have is, okay, you're pushing. Let me pull you back and say, hey, you know what? It's Friday afternoon. It's 2:00. It's beautiful weather. Is there anything on fire right now? No? Cool. Nothing's going to blow up till Monday? Cool. Go home. We're all going to go home. We're going to go, you know, sit and drink a beer in the backyard, whatever you want to do. You know, and Kurt, on top of, one, everybody gets 40 hours PTO. I have not tracked it a single day in the entire time I've been at this company for the leadership. It is, of course, you can go. I had something happen to one of my leaders tonight. Random kid. Actually, you know what random kid's saying here is we're not going to talk about it because I want to talk about this on another show because I'm there. I hate it when companies use terms like family. Family doesn't mercilessly, I can't say it, Joe. Say it for me.
Mercilessly?
Do layoffs like a company does. Okay? No, so I want to talk about family versus company in some other show. And get you. I think you guys will talk a lot on that. But yeah, balance is the key word, and you brought that up, Kurt. You have to have balance. So a company trying to control overtime is trying to achieve that balance. And Joe, you nailed it. For a salary, I know my cost is going to be fixed. And the balance is we not only basically give you free vacation, we don't count it. You know, something came up last night with one of my managers and she didn't even have to tell me a story. She's like, look, I got to do this thing for 2 days. Okay. And I'm like, yep, sure. Okay. We do bonuses. We do bonuses throughout the year. We do nice dinners. You know, we take our staff and say, hey, you know what? We're having a meeting today. What do y'all want? And we mean, what do you want? Do you want to order from the ramen place that's $20 a person? Done. Do you want to order from the steak place that's you know, we try to say thank you, like you were saying, Kurt. And I think we've got to eliminate those mindsets of like a chunk. Hey, and just open our eyes and go, yes, Kurt, I can't stand the horror stories I've read from the gaming industry and crunch times and hell weeks. And Joe puts Charles has never given me any paid time off. He's such a slave driver. Hey, buddy, we're only bringing in like $20 a month. We're still in the eat what you kill stage of building this business. So we gotta do better. If you'd like to join patreon.com/wiseandnerdy, please do. So all that being said, clarity, balance, you have to find, I mean, honestly, even in overtime, you can be abused. And yeah. I'm not getting paid enough for this. We'll come out because without home, which I think we're gonna talk about this next, home life balance or soon, you know, finding that balance in life. It doesn't matter. It didn't matter if your salary is $10 million a year if you're being abused. And it doesn't matter if you're getting $100 an hour if you only get to work 10 hours a week. So roll the dice.
Okay.
I'm blinking SOS to you, man. Kurt, we got to teach this dude about how to anticipate transitions.
Time for a commercial break.
Joe, roll the dice. Give me a 6-sided dice.
2.
All right, here we go.
Who does number 2 work for?
Kurt, tell everybody where they can find you on this commercial break.
You can find me at VO by Kurt anywhere. But you can also go to patreon.com/wisenerdy. That's patreon.com/wise_nerdy.
All seriousness, everybody, we'd love to have you as part of our family, our fandom, if you will. Come and find your fandom where fatherhood meets fandom. Donate today, patreon.com/wise_nerdy. we want to help to build the future. Listen, the Council of Dads is waiting for you to come in and show us a different perspective and help make kids of the world be better. I don't know. Ran out of space on that one.
Roll that dice. Call your daddy and leave a voicemail.
That was a fast
wiseandnerdy.com/call dad.
Call your dad.
Call your dad.
That's call not rolling dad. Dice, Joe. That's trolling Kurt.
Call your dad.
Let daddy decide.
Look, when I sign autographs for your children next weekend, because my three biggest fans are coming to town to get my autograph on Saturday, I will personalize it. It is not what can you dig it? It is not let daddy decide. Get it right. Love, Charles. So that's how do I, right? That's the how do I? Or what do you,
it yeah. is how do I.
So, all right, right from the last one. We talked about balance. To me, this is important. It's a hard thing to teach. It is.
Have a nerdy day.
That's a good one. How do you find, and Kurt, man, you're reeling this now with work and the grandkids and fit guy day 867,453, whatever it is. This work life balance. I don't remember if I wrote it this way or somebody else did, but that work, family, and hobby. What is Kurt time? What is you time in there?
It's hard. literally, right now, the gym time is kind of my Kurt time. So I guess technically you could possibly count that as hobby. But it's really, where can I not worry about anything but me?
Yeah.
Is kind
of
what it is.
And is that the smallest part of your time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, easily. But because of the regimen that I'm on right now in terms of like my workout schedule and whatnot, ironically, I get more of it than I typically did. So it's good. Now other hobbies suffer, but it's okay. It's okay. Right now it's worth it. And right now I feel more balanced. And so that's really all that matters. The work family thing is weird because I work from home. And I know I've talked about this before.
But you just actually talked about having to work and barely get home to sleep and go back to work.
Right. So working at home, the difference is nowadays my wife is disabled. So I have to intermingle helping her during the day while I'm working. And so that, and she's unable to do some of the things that she was doing when we were younger and coming up. So I'm doing all the laundry and the grocery shopping and the meal prep and all of that on top of everything else. So it just, it's really work is job one, family is job two, voiceover side hustle is job three, and then I've got my workout stuff. So it's busy to be certain. Oh yeah, and I have music in there too, because that is one of my other hobbies. So I'm making it work right now.
How
do you balance it?
How? So I think
so part of it,
stories and similar answers.
Yes. So part of it for me is, in a weird way, my wife goes to bed early now, because she fatigues easy, and so she goes to bed early. And so when she goes to bed is when I have time to do stuff. And so that's when I work on my music, and that's when I go to the gym, usually in the evenings after she goes to bed. That's when we're recording this podcast. Like, part of the reason I was late was I was putting her to bed. It's a hard balance. But that's just the life I'm in. I mean, I, unless I want to do nothing else. And so that's not an option, because if I do just work and family, I will go crazy. Like, there's no release valve, right? And so, what we do try to do though is, on the weekends, because I don't work a full-time job on the weekends. Once I'm done the grocery shopping and the cooking and all that stuff and the laundry, then I spend time with my wife and we hang out. And if there's a music thing that I'm performing in or whatever, she'll come to the shows and,
nice.
And, you know, and we, so, you know, and we go on vacation together and things like that. So we do try to balance things out. It's not always easy. You know, it's, there have been times where it's like she's in the same house and I barely see her is what it feels like. But,
sure.
But she gets it. She gets it. But I do try to make specific time for her. Like, I mean, tomorrow for other reasons, I'm taking the day off, but I plan on spending a bunch of it with her. Just hanging out. So
I hear a lot of things. I'm going to sum up, I think, to get to the how. But Joe, you, how do you find your balance? You got, you know, two kids and one awesome dude in your house. The littlest one's
he's awesome. He's talking dude. About the 4-year-old. It's yes, the awesome dude, favorite. Not me. Just I'm as everyone. Favorite.
We're good.
It is definitely a struggle. Being home, I do get to see them every now and again, throughout the day. But with my new team, I'm in meetings all the time, it feels like. And so, really it's, I pop up, say, hey, while grabbing my lunch and talk to them a little bit, but during the day, I don't get to see them a whole lot. Now, if there's like some kind of an emergency, even if I'm in a meeting, I'll be like, hey, I got to step out for a few minutes. So my one kid's trying to kill the other kid or something. It is some days I feel like I've got it super balanced, and other days it feels like the sand is just slipping through my fingers. And I guess, all in all, I don't know if I have it really balanced. Okay. Not really. You know?
Hey, okay. Good that you feel that way, because it means you're going to start keep always looking for ways to achieve balance. I hope that's what it means. Anyway, but I would say you do, because you and Kurt do some, not fully, but here's why. You and Kurt have some similar things. They're called boundaries. You make sure work is here at work. And during that time, that's the boundary. Your family's up there because you both work from home. But you go, work time is work time. Family time. If anytime, and go, hey, Joe, do you want to? The answer is always, let me talk to the wife. Every last time. Hey, Joe, can we do something? Let me talk to, because that's a boundary, right? You want to make sure that you're respecting the together time and what's needed time. You have some religious time, you know, you set that apart. You blatantly skip, which I love, you blatantly skip the volunteer meetings that Scott schedules on Sunday morning, because he truly forgets you go to church every single time, even though you tell him every single time, bless his heart. But what does Joe time look like? Because this, even though this is fun for all of us, we love doing this, it's still a little bit of work, right? So what is just Joe time?
Like a chunk.
Sorry.
I don't really have just Joe time. So, come like on, when when I come up from work, I'm helping get dinner ready, get the kids to bed, and then afterwards I'm spending time with my wife. I guess the closest thing I have is on the weekend I'll be playing Minecraft with my kids, but even then again, that's with my kids. And so I don't have a lot of alone time, as it were.
Look, I'm going to say first, you do have to find that, man. That is part of balance. You have, and I'm going to talk about the little things I do and how you remove guilt for doing it, but you need that. But secondly, it doesn't have to be alone time to be Joe time. Joe time is that I'm not having to put out, right? I'm getting energy back. I'm resting. I'm just, at least in my head, just being me, not even zoning out, if you will, not even worrying about it. So my wife hates almost all alone time. She gets bored. She doesn't like doing that. Her time, her recharge time is going out with the kids. So like your Minecraft with your children, for her, that would be errand time. She loves that. Now, when everybody's just buzzing around the house and they're not going to do an adventure, then it's like, get out of my face. You know, that's that take time. But the give time is when we do things together for her. For me, I love my creating. And every Saturday morning, I have a habit, like a job. You know, my work is, I'm on salary. I run the company. I'm on 24/7, but I'm not. Right. I try to have people and processes in place where I don't have to do that. But if you call me, I will answer. I will take care of it. I'll answer texts. But I turn that volume way down come Friday afternoon. And I try to keep it at a minimum. I try to even ask myself, do I need to deal with this right now or can I wait till Monday? Right. But my Saturdays, for most part, I come out here. I edit the audio for this show. I take Joe's well-crafted AI notes and we arrange the polishing for everything. And then I either go to work by, you know, talking to Dennis about like and subscribe and recording or editing podcasts or doing something fun to stories, which I love. That's still me time, but it's work. Sometimes, and this, I have to force myself to do this. I have to force myself to go, this is an appropriate time. I go and sit and play my Xbox. And knowing here, man, I could be doing another Finding the Stories episode. I could be refining my media. I could be doing this policy for work that I just didn't get done on Friday. But guilt is a key word that I wanted to put out there. I removed the guilt by going, this is just as important as sleeping, eating, making sure I do spend the time with my family in the individual and togetherness ways and focusing on work. And yeah, like you were saying, and Kurt, you went through this with the gaming industry. That when I take over a company, I realize just how arrogant that sounded, but that's just the way it happened. We bought a company. I took it over. I don't know what to tell you. Get off my chops, man. Joe, you started off with that Tennessee accent at the beginning. Look at Chope. I've just thrown myself so far off on this one. But seriously, no,
keep going. I'm sure it'll end up great. No.
The train, my train always goes through the meadows and finds another track and gets on it. We're good. My point is, you have to make that. Exactly, Mike.
That's quite the point.
But without guilt, right? Right? And you need to work without guilt. When I take over a company, I know that's where I derail myself. It'll go anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks of I'm gone for maybe 4 or 5 days at a time. When I'm home, I'm sleeping 3 or 4 hours. I'm in after everybody goes to sleep and I'm up before they get up and I'm out. I might not see my family for a week. And there, the focus has to be, don't you think, I'm going to throw this because yes, don't you think the focus has to be on the time frame? This is not forever. This is now. And even if you have to say, I don't know, but in 4 weeks, I have to, oh, okay, that's a good question. In 4 weeks, I have to revisit and see what the time frame is. Whatever you have to do, you got to put time frames on it. Otherwise, I think that's a problem with the gaming industry, Kurt. It's crunch time. It's crunch time. Woo! All right, everybody. We published a game. All right, we just started another game. So now that's just going to start ramping up for the next 24 months on you.
Yeah. So, video game industry aside, because it's almost a different beast. I think, Joe, one of the things that occurred to me was I was thinking back to when I was your age with young kids. Having young kids makes all the difference in the world in terms of the ability to have me time. You know, it really does. And one of the things that I may have mentioned this before, but when my kids were young, and we had to do a cross-country move, I asked them what their concerns were, you know, because they would be switching schools and it was a big upheaval in their lives. And my daughter, who was 6 at the time, I think, said, "Are you still going to be able to have dinner with us?" That was her main concern. So, to me, if that's what she's worried about, then I can make sure I have dinner. You know, and so that's the level of thing that I think that, Joe, you're probably, I'm not going to say struggling with, because I don't really know your life, but those are the kinds of things that you're dealing with now. You're dealing with the kids stuff. And it does get different when the kids are teenagers and they start having their own lives. And so you might have the kid saying, "Hey, I'm not going to be home until 5 o'clock, or can you pick me up at 5 o'clock? Whatever. And you go, "Oh, I can breathe for a second." Because they're doing their own thing. But the young kid thing, that's just the point of your life that you're in. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, and that comes with the territory. You had kids. That's one of the things you got to do.
Well, and you know, we talked about it last week, at least I think it was last week, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, about feeling like a good dad. And there are times more often than not where I am done with work. I'm getting ready for dinner and then it's bedtime. And I really only get, two, 3 hours maybe with the kids at night before they're in bed. And so I mean, everyone has the same number of hours in the day. There are times when I feel like I'm just not utilizing my hours good enough, but I don't see how I could fit more into it at the same time.
Okay. So I was going to say, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I do. Don't at all underestimate the quality of the time that you have with the kids during that couple of hours, because that's the stuff that they will remember. And whether they even realize it or not, whether you realize it's important to them or not, because they'll go, "Yeah, I remember, like, Dad always used to like read to us right before we went to bed. And like every night, like we just read books all the time." And they find value in that, whether you realize it or not. It might just be, "Well, this is just the routine that we do," whatever. But don't underestimate the value of that quality time. And quality time is such a catchphrase, but it matters. It matters. Yes. Yeah. Dude. So the fact that you're even doubting probably indicates that you're a better dad than you think.
And also, I'm with Kurt, but for a different reason. Yes. And reason, dude, that's what I'm talking about. Remove the guilt. You got to remove the doubt. You got to know and believe this time matters. And that makes it matter. Your kids will never remember the bad times as much as you think they do. We literally went through a bankruptcy during Christmas. It was a super tough time in our life. We didn't do any Christmas other than we spent the $200 or to the $300. It was not a super large amount. Because a friend of ours actually came in knowing how much is important to us, and we were going to skip it. He gave us $200 to go, and then we had like $200 to do extra with there. And my wife's like, "Man, but shouldn't we put this on bills?" I went, "No. The bills will be the bills. That won't matter. No, we don't buy the kids Christmas presents." And they will not go, "Remember that Christmas we didn't get presents?" But they will absolutely go, man, you remember how bad that bankruptcy time was? Because we couldn't even go to Stone Mountain as a family tradition like we've always done. And sure enough, I asked them, hey, do y'all remember what year all the bad stuff happened? They can't place it. They have zero clue. But just the other day, the last time that my wife took the kids to Pawleys Island is a family thing like you do, Joe. You know, y'all go to your beach or whatever. It's kind of like that kind of family thing. And the last time it ever happened, she took the kids, and there's a reason I didn't go. But they are still talking about, they don't remember it was Pawleys Island. But they remember, oh, mom took this extra time to do this thing. And they just say, hey, you remember this? Remember did this? Just randomly. And my wife, she just leaves over and goes, no regrets. So yeah, and I'm with you, Kurt. The fact that you question is it quality, it matters. But ultimately, all you can do is all you can do. Now, I do want to wrap this up because we got some cool stuff to talk about. But random kid asks, do you recharge at conventions? I went ahead and put that also in the topic. So two topics for me tonight went to the next time of what do you think about? Because it just made me think about the different things that we do recharge when we have alone time, when we have family time, when we, you know, all these different things. So I thought it'd be another big topic. So thank you, random kid. And we're gonna definitely talk about that one.
I don't recharge at Dragon Con.
Roll the dice. Roll the freaking dice, son. Jesus, Kurt.
What are you nerding out about now?
Smacking Joe.
You want to go first, Charles? I'm pretty sure this is yours.
Oh, if I pimp slap him, yeah. All right, hold on. Joe, lean in. Wait. Let's do this the right way. Just slap yourself. Slap yourself. Okay. All right, yes. That was so stupid. Why do we do that?
Lycan
Book 3. Okay, Lycan Solomon's Odyssey. Last night I was wearing a jersey. Tonight I'm wearing our jersey, our Wise and Nerdy jersey. But Book 3 is out. If you go to lycanbook.com, I'm an executive producer on the book. I'm the co-host of the Patreon update, Like and Subscribe. Yeah, Lycan. I know.
That's a great name, by the way. It's a great name.
Look, man, that is not the first time I've been. I know Phil took issue with me saying I was goofing, but I'm just saying the dumbest things in my head. That is at least the third time I've done something like that. This is obviously so ridiculous. Someone went, oh, that's a great name. So, yeah, like and subscribe. But I love the book. The art is fantastic. I really do enjoy the story. I know we give Dennis grief. And those of us, like, I got to read the original copy. And it's come a long way since then. But I still love the original copy. And it, like I said, it's changed a lot. But, yeah, he's really
Haven't you been featured in some of the books now, too?
Oh, yeah. So I'm in book two, getting ripped apart by the werewolf, actually. I will be in book three. I have no idea how I'm going to die in that one because I donate at the level that I put my own money behind it to so I can get my cool jerseys. I love the jerseys. And I definitely am so feeding my own hubris and just going, yeah, I want to see my face die in every last one of these books.
Period. Are you wearing a Lycan jersey right now?
No, this is ours. This is
no, our that's the white.
Okay, jersey. Yeah. Because I was going to say, you were wearing the Lycan jersey last night, weren't you? Yep.
And they are similar colors, just a different pattern or whatever. But yes. Well, also, I have two Lycan jerseys and only have one Wise and Nerdy. So at some point, we'll get this new logo with Kurt's face on it, and I'll get a new Wise and Nerdy jersey. But yeah, if you like werewolves, if you like history of man, fictional history of man, you like good art, it's And Dennis loves mythology, and that's his driving surroundings is the werewolf is basically moving in and out of different mythologies throughout the history of humankind. And I just, it's fascinating and it's fun. And if you go, there's a way now, this is book three, you can get one, two, and three at a different level. It just depends on what level you do, but you can get the whole set and catch up in one shot over at lycanbook.com. So there is my... Oh, random kid made a joke that made himself groan.
Yep. do you know how long is this Kickstarter going for?
It's going until the 31st. April 1st, okay. I think is when it ends, basically.
Well, only because I supported the first two books. I didn't do this one yet because the timing of it during the year threw me.
Yeah. It's for his birthday or whatever, because it ends on his birthday. But it's a little off on me, but I have the money. And he reminded me. He launched. Hey, man, we launched. Like, cool. I'm just waiting on my taxes to come back. He goes, well, you know, you can pledge, and it won't actually take it till April 1st. I went, fine. And I went in there and did my pledge and then shared it and posted it out to, you know,
I'm going to, I just haven't been able to do it yet. So
I get you. But yeah, it's like, yeah, no, man, we're rolling the dice kind of close. So I've done my taxes. They should be here before then, but come on, man, you're killing me. So what are you nerding about, Joe?
Ironically, mine is also a Kickstarter. I'm still debating on whether I want to back it. Well, more like if I have the money to back it, because I would love to back it. Sure. But back when I was a teenager, I used to play a card game called Imagination Duel. And there have been the company went under back in early 2000s, and they even had a set. A card set that was the illustrations were completely done. The words of the wording for all of the cards, it was completely ready to go to print. But they went under and they ended up selling off a part of their rights. And so there was kind of this legal issue of who had which parts of the IP and whatnot. And about a year and a half ago, a lawyer who was a big fan of the card game got in contact with the people who used to own the company. It was called 2i. I can't remember it like
such a huge 2i. Fan. I'm learning so much.
Shut your face. So the main guy that made it, that owned the company, 2i is the Interactive Imagination. That's what it stands for. One of the main guys ended up becoming a politician after the company went belly up. But anyway, the lawyer figured out that while the rights to any cartoon animation, because there was a cartoon that was animated very differently than what the cards looked like, but the company that owned those rights did not own the rights to the card game to print it. And so while they figured out that some of the individual people maintained those rights legally speaking, and they have now done a Kickstarter in to print that set that was ready to be printed, along with a few brand new custom cards for some of the people that have been instrumental in making this happen. They had already purchased artwork from some of the original artists and made their own cards, and so they're getting officially printed as well. And I'm trying to remember how much. I'm trying to look it up real quick, but it has been like 3,000% funded already. Nice. And it's only been up for like a week and a half or 2 weeks. And
man, it's powerful.
Oh yeah. Well, and those that are hit with nostalgia are a little bit older and maybe have a little bit more money that they can unless toss they have at it.
Three kids.
Yeah. Right. And so I'm trying to figure out, if I can and how much I can pledge. So the goal was 10,000 was the goal, and they've raised almost 170,000 already.
Well, we better see a franchise come out of this then. That's a lot of years if you can do $10,000 for the starter pack. Come on.
Yeah. And so, I mean, they had a bunch of stretch goals, and I think they've reached
circled them twice at least.
Yeah, they reached all of their original stretch goals like within the first day, and so they've actually been adding extra stretch goals as they've gone along, and they've even got a couple of they've got one pledge that apparently is because of a founder of someone who's integral with it. He passed away and he said, look, I am donating this much for any of the future Kickstarters. And I want one person to get all of the benefits for $1. And so I thought that was a pretty neat thing. Nice. Where the
you on that lottery too, though, don't you? Come on, Joe. Right.
I think that's already been selected who's on the lottery. But yeah, that I was like, that's pretty awesome. But yeah, they're talking about, because this has been so big, about a complete revival, like reprinting all of the old sets and everything, and having more expansions. So there were five sets that had released. So this will be the sixth set. And so, yeah, but yeah, you can, if you pledge enough, they're like, okay, you get three of every new card, which is a play set of all the new cards. But yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
It's making me wish that I hadn't sold my cards, like almost 10 years ago now.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Not quite. Yeah. Well, I sold them. I sold them to help pay some bills. And, but yeah,
like a joke.
I do.
Oh no. But Kurt just wants the sharp cheddar card. That's the only one he's caring about.
The sharp cheddar card.
Yep. Yep.
Oh man.
But Kurt, what's got your nerdity all up in a bunch?
Okay. Look, it doesn't happen very often, particularly when we get to podcast on March 14th, which is Pi Day. And I do nerd out a little bit about Pi every year. We know that it's an irrational number. We know that the Guinness record for memorizing digits, decimal points in Pi is 70,000.
Memorized it out to 70,000?
Yes.
Holy cow.
We know that
AI doesn't count. Come on.
No. And we know that the easy way to calculate pi is 22 divided by 7.
I don't
know. And we know
I'm cool. I like jocks. I like girls. I don't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we know that to figure the circumference of a circle, it's pi r squared. Right. So that's all kind of known type of things.
I've got an issue with that equation.
So Joe, what's wrong with that equation?
Oh my God, if this is a tag team bad dad joke.
Cakes are square.
He didn't hear you.
Pi around, Charles. Cakes are square.
And then the final fact about pi is, well, is it, I mean, there's a couple of things. I mean, one, 3.14 is what pi is often referred to, right? But did you know that 3.14% of all sailors are pirates? Yep, I said it. And it's the day before my birthday. That's all the trivia I have.
Dear Jesus, I am seriously considering all the life choices that have brought me to this hellhole that I have dug for myself.
Charles, it's Jesus.
That's my kind of Jesus. He's been smoking and drinking all night before he answers a prayer.
Hey, Zeus, is that you?
I'm tired of your crap.
Let me hit another line. Yeah, okay, Mario, March 10th. But you know what else is March 10th? It is RuPaul Day in Atlanta.
Why?
I don't know, because that's the day that RuPaul was here. And Atlanta made it her day. And Aaron and Zoe get to meet her. That's awesome. But yeah, March 10th is Mario Day. But yeah.
Yeah, but we're not nerds. We're not going to talk about that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about something all dads tend to like to talk about.
Nerd!
A bunch of nerds. Where's my Charles?
I don't have that on a button.
Okay.
You have it on a button. You're supposed to.
Hey, guys. Tell me about your first car. Yeah, see, that's what I wanted to hear this story, right? We all kind of read that way a little bit. Joe, you tell me about yours first, because Kurt, I'm gonna let you last because you look like you got a great story.
It's not that great, but it's good enough.
All right. My first car was actually a truck, a 1986 GMC Sierra that my brother gave me. And while handing me the keys, he gave it to me for my 18th birthday. While handing me the keys, told me, "I'm sorry." He's like, the AC is shot, the radio is shot, you're gonna need a new transmission within a year or two, but it runs for now. I'm like, all right. I mean, I didn't have a car before, and now I've got a car. But that truck, it lasted me my last year of high school, all through college. I sold it like 2 months before I left college, and I ended up getting like $1,500 for it. So I'm like, yeah. And actually, while I was on my mission trip for my church, so in between high school and college, during those 2 years, my brother drove it. And during that time, my mom had a mechanic put a rebuilt transmission in it. So I came back and it had a rebuilt transmission in it and everything. And so it worked just fine. And but I knew it had already gone from Pennsylvania to Washington. Like, it had already made that trip. I was like, it's not going to make a trip from Idaho to Tennessee, because I got married. I met my wife in Idaho, and after we got married, we moved here to Tennessee. I'm like, it's not going to.
What?
I'm not going to risk that.
Can you tell me again?
I went to high school in Pennsylvania.
I know. I don't know. It just struck me how you repeated it there.
It was a fine car. It worked just fine. The radio, my brother was like, the radio doesn't work. It was actually, I think, the speakers that had a fault in it, had a short in the speakers. But I'm like, that's not a big deal, because I can't hear the music anyway, since I'm rolling down the window, so I'm not overheating. So it got me from point A to point B. So
that's what I do.
Not a whole lot of kids in my high school had their own cars, so that was nice in and of itself. And it had a covered bed in the back. And so when I was at college, I kept all of my stuff that I didn't necessarily need at college with me in the back of my truck. I just used it as storage. And so it worked out quite well.
I think it was an El Camino, not a truck, but okay, we're cool. Kurt, you said you didn't think yours was that great, but you had a good reaction. All right, I want to hear yours. What's yours?
Well, because so my very first car I got when I was 20. No, 19. And so I had started working for a software company, and I had no car. I think my parents were bringing me to and from work at the time. And one of the guys I worked with, in fact, one of the owners of the company, said, "Hey, I've got a car that I'll sell you for $150, because that's what the junkyard will give me for it." And I said, "Does it run?" He said, "Yep." I said, "Okay." And gave him $150. And that thing was a 1980 Chevy Monza with a pushed up trunk. Like, it wouldn't close. It wouldn't seal because it got into a car accident. He had named it Priscilla, so I kept her name to respect her.
All right.
And had to keep a six pack of rear light bulbs in the trunk, because whenever it rained, those lights would short out because the trunk wasn't sealed. And drove that thing for like 2 years and $150. And because it was a hunk of junk, it wasn't worth insuring, and didn't have any payments on it. And insurance was pretty cheap because, well, as cheap as it could be for a 20-year-old or a 19-year-old, you know, it's going to be expensive anyway, but, yeah, it was, whew. And it had one of those old kind of tape decks where you would like aftermarket a tape, because there were no CD players at that point, really, for cars. So
did you have the cassette with the wire that you would hook up to a CD player?
It was 1986, Joe. Portable CD players were not really a thing. I had a CD player for my stereo system at home. But
you had an 8-track, buddy.
Portable. I grew up with an 8-track player. My parents had a console stereo that had a turntable, AM/FM, 8-track, and a cassette player all in the same console.
I was never fancy enough to have an 8-track player. I thought it was
cool. Yeah, 8-track sucked anyway. It was terrible.
Yeah, but I didn't have it, so I thought it was cool.
Yeah. My dad had a portable 8-track player in his car. Or not a portable, but a car stereo 8-track player in his car. So I replaced the radio at one point, and it didn't really burn oil, so that was good. But whew, what a hunk of junk that thing was. Oh, it was just bad. And rear-wheel drive, I think, at the time, which in New England, rear-wheel drive, when it snows.
Spinning wheels, baby.
Not good. Not good. So, yeah. And then, yeah, I think a couple years later, I got a brand new car. But that was one where the car payment was $161. My insurance payment was $175. per month.
Yeah.
So yeah, not a great story, but cheapest car I know of. $150.
Well, mine was free. So the first one I bought was actually a used car on a car lot, but the first one I had that I didn't buy. It was, so to set the tone for you, Joe, is in the 90s, all right? We still didn't have portable CD players, really, kind of. It had a tape deck.
Certainly not in Georgia. So, I mean, okay.
We could have a pour off. I think I'd win. I was poor growing up, but also no, you're right. There's certain rural areas. We were not in Atlanta. I'm sure they had all kind of technology. I was in South Georgia, and yeah, it had a tape deck. And it had old silver knobs ready that clicked on and off, and you dial the AM and FM, and it didn't work because the speakers were all cracked. The dash had overheated, you know, from the sun, and it was all cracked. Manual stick shift. So Joe, that's when you have to use your left foot to push in the pedal. Drive like a man.
That's what mine was too. Mine was a
stick shift. Yeah. Joe, can you drive stick? No, we're men. You're not a man. Papa NASCAR. He should have taught you.
What a jerk.
Yeah, everybody should know how to drive a stick.
So my dad died when I was 16, before I got my learner's permit. Just
what a horrible father to not teach his son how to drive a stick like a man.
My dad didn't teach me how to drive a stick. I learned on the job.
Oh, yeah, me too. My dad taught you. Okay, 1981 Datsun. Oh, yeah. What you said, Joe? No AC in South Georgia, where we're hitting record highs of 100, 102 in the summertime, right? Copper tone, by the way, like legit, looked like a penny. Driving down the road, hats back, pleather seats that were also cracked. Did I mention, no air conditioning. Made a mistake of wearing shorts that didn't go to my knees at some point when I said that. Yeah. In the winter, you'd freeze, and in the summer, you would die. It was horrible. But I loved it. I loved that car. I was so arrogant about that car, I thought it could race people. It could not. I was so embarrassed, but I loved it because I thought I could do it. But yeah, Kurt, so my dad, here's how I ended up learning how to drive a stick shift with this car, which ended up letting my dad say, okay, that's your car now. Ultimately, we lived on a parsonage. And if people don't know what that means, it's basically your house is on the church grounds. My dad was a preacher. The church owned the house, and it literally, in this case, was on the same property. So my backyard was a legit softball field because they had a couple of acres that the church sat on, and it was just right there. So my dad drove the car out into the middle of the softball field because it's safe. There's nothing around to hit, right? I'm basically driving around the back 40, if you will. And he was trying to teach me to drive a stick shift, you know, the whole let off the clutch, push in the gas. But here's the thing, me and my dad don't communicate very well, and we never have. and it just, yeah, I know, right? it just, he ate steak at freaking Carrabba's, man. What do you want from him? So, but it, I got the concepts, but it just wasn't, it was smooth enough. I could do okay to get to work. And legit at the time, work was 5 minutes away, 10 max, no traffic. So my mom, I'm sure, was praying her heart out that her baby would come home every day. My dad was like, good luck, kid. And he went off to a conference. And so during that week that he's gone, and I'm feeling okay at this point, not super great, but random kid, you're really grinding my gears. So, oh, John, we'll get to that. That's a good point you made. It was lunch break. I worked at a grocery store, and I was going to go across the street or right up the street for some food. And one of the girls who worked there was like, hey, can I come with you to go eat? Sure, no problem. And basically, side note, my parents say this is how I learned how to ride a bicycle. Is one day we're in an apartment complex and we're on the second or third floor, whatever. My mom's washing dishes at the window and she just sees me on some neighbor kid's bike flying down the sidewalk, just going 9 miles an hour, and ran into a tree to stop. Got up, went back up the hill, did it again. And that's how I learned how to ride a bike. Fast forward to 1993. That's how I learned how to drive a clutch. Pop that clutch, slam the gas, and hope you don't kill anybody. Just go, man. Go, man. Go. And so the girl was like, whoa, did nobody ever teach you how to drive a clutch? And I told her the story. So she took maybe 2 or 3 hours right after work to teach me. And let me tell you, when you're trying to impress a girl who's teaching you how to drive, you'll learn to drive real freaking fast. And yeah, that's how I learned to do the stick shift. Only last story I have for it. Like I said, I thought this thing was amazing. Now, 1980 stick shift, okay? Joe, and I'm not even funny, Joe. When I say, hey, Joe, it's not a normal engine sound. It's almost like a diesel Jake brake in this stupid Nissan. I mean, when you would just let off and try to cruise, even when neutral, I mean, you can hear me coming my way. Can never sneak out of the house. Ever. But one night I'm riding around with one of my best friends, Douglas, and I think it was my girlfriend at the time. Some girl was with us. And we're at a light. This is not changing. It's a little side alley, side street, whatever. And this is in my heyday of Batman stuff. And for whatever reason, we're just talking. I'm like, screw this light. I throw it in reverse. Nobody's behind me. I throw it in reverse. Try to squeal tires. It doesn't squeal tires. But I shoot back, whip into a parking lot, and Douglas and the girl are like, they're just stunned. And I went, I'm Batman. And they just drove off. Batman. And yeah. And that was it. And let's talk about this real quick. But I got one more thing to talk about that car. But this, Joe, you're dead on. Joe says, Kelsey, Joe says, the best part about my truck was that I had a front seat so I took girls on dates that could sit right next to me. Smiley face.
It did. It had a full front seat. So
I did love that. I had a Ford Ranger and a F-150, and they had the bench seat, and I'd make my wife sit next to me. I loved it. Yeah.
I only ever had bucket seats. There was none of that.
Yeah. Well, and it had a second row too, so it had 6 seat belts. So whenever, fancy. Yeah, whenever I needed to go anywhere, people were like, "Joe, can we have a ride?" And I'm like, all right,
everybody pile in. But we all get rid of our cars at some point or other. Just like we're going to get rid of the show tonight. You all are awesome, but like I told my first car, I need you to be awesome somewhere else. That's the show, everybody. Thank you for coming and making sure to listen again next week.
Have some pie.
Follow these nerdy dads on social media. Charles at Rock God of Podcasting. Joe at Joseph_Ard. Check out the website, wiseandnerdy.com. And as always, they may not be your father, but they'll always be your daddy.
VO by Kurt at VO by Kurt everywhere.
I did it all for the scotch. Hey,
is it BS?